We've been talking a little bit about David, King David, and some of the life of them before David. I want to thank Pastor Kevin for his excellent overview, the background of his story from David's life to the scope of history. But where we are today and the next 2 weeks that we're leading up to our Merger Sunday on September 22nd, one service, 10 a.m., September 22nd, 10 a.m., one service. On that day, where we wanted to lead you up is with these three words: person, passion, and problem. Person, passion, and problem. We're going to talk about person today, but an overview of this, it is like this graphic that you can see on the screen there. Your person is the person that makes up you. That's uniquely you. All of the experiences you've ever had, all of the childhood things that you've had happen to you, decisions that you've made, things that have been decided for you, that have made you you. That's your person. You probably have a passion, something that you're passionate about, something that gets you up in the morning that you're super excited about, something that just like, I just love doing this thing and I want to go do this thing. That's your passion. All right. And then there's a problem that maybe you are meant to solve, a problem that is something that is a burden for you, something that maybe keeps you up at night because you are burdened by this thing and you need to solve this problem. When we get all three of these things in alignment, that's what we want to imagine, that your person, your passion, and the problem that you're meant to solve comes in alignment together. Just imagine what it would be like if that happened in your life and in the lives of everybody in this room together, if we could capture that together. Go back to that last screen, if you would, just for a second, because if we don't have all three in alignment, what we see is if we just have our person and our passion lined up, then we just have a hobby. Hobbies aren't bad, right? Hobbies are good. How many have a hobby? You're like, yeah, you have a hobby. Somebody like, I have kids. I don't have a hobby. What's a hobby? There's no time for that. But a hobby's a good thing, all right? Your person aligned with your passion. Some people's passion are like golf. You know, I just love to golf, and it aligns with who I am. Now, I'm not speaking for me. I don't actually love to golf because I'm terrible, terrible at golf. But that's an example. I like to garden, and so I'll go out to the garden sometimes, you know, in the spring, and prepare soil, and you know how the garden goes. That's what I like. That's kind of a hobby for me. I like to do that. And hobbies are good things, but it doesn't really solve a problem for anybody except for the fact that we like to eat vegetables. So there's that. But if we have our passion and a problem lined up together without our heart being in it, without our person being in it, then what we have is a cause. And causes are good things too. Hobbies are good. Causes are good. Those are good things to do. It's like when around Thanksgiving, I know that the Lookup Center often does meals, you know, and so maybe you'll get up early on Thanksgiving and you go serve a meal or take meals to people. They have, and I feel like a variety of ways they do that. That's a cause, and that's good. Causes are good things that you can be a part of. And then the other side of it, person and problem without a passion is a duty. Oh, I got to go do this thing that I need to do. I used the example earlier of weeding the flower beds at the church. Nobody really wants to do that because they're not passionate about that. But it's something that we got to do. And so I guess I can do that because I garden, you know, and it's a problem that needs to take care of. So we do it. But what if all of those things were all aligned together? Your person, your passion, your problem. Imagine if we were able to capture all of those things together. I think, now you can go to this next one, that we would become aligned with our person. Imagine that we weren't subdivided people, that we were aligned with the person that God created us to be. We're not pretending to be somebody else, but we're just us. You're just you, the you that is you, and this is who you are, and God created you to be this way. You could be aligned with your person, and you could become awakened to your passion. This is the thing that I meant to do. I just feel so alive when I do that. That's what happens when we find all of these things together, but we come awake to our passion and then aware of the problem in our community or in our lives or in our family that we're meant to solve. But if we were aware, like, oh, wow, actually, I have this ability within me to solve this problem. I can do it. It's within me to do it. You put all those things together, you become alive
to your person. Here's the thing, or your purpose, excuse me. Here's the thing. We don't always do it. We don't always do all three of those because sometimes we just do hobbies, causes, and duties. Sometimes, you know, and they're not bad. But then sometimes even when we do it and we come fully aligned on us, we just don't do it well. You know, we don't capture it well. So over this week, we're going to talk about person. Next week, Pastor Mariah is going to talk about passion, and then I'll come back and talk about problem before our merger Sunday on September 22nd at 10 a.m. one service. All right, so let's talk about person. You are uniquely shaped to be the person that God has created you to be. The person that you are is a unique combination of your childhood, how you were raised, combined with the experiences you've had, the decisions you've made, and the decisions other people have made that have impacted you throughout your life. That makes you, and that's who you are now. Now, let's look at David. David was identified as a man after God's own heart, even though he had done things, horrible things, and horrible things were done to him. He was still a man after God's own heart. His identity, his person, was not tied up in the actions of his own doing, but rather in his relationship with God. That's where his identity came from, his relationship with God. Now, here's what the Apostle Paul says about David when he's telling the story of Israel from David and before up to Jesus. He's telling the people of Antioch. Here's Acts chapter 13, verse 22. This is Paul telling the story. But after removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, David. He says, I found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He'll do everything that I want him to do. That's the phrase right there, a man after my own heart, or stated differently, a man after God's own heart. That's so often attributed to King David. That's the person David was, a man after God's own heart. Let's look back, though, to see where this all comes out from the Old Testament, clear back 1 Samuel 13. We're going to camp out there. If you have a Bible or an app or something, we're going to look at 1 Samuel 13, verses 8 and following. So here's the context, though. King Saul, first king of Israel, he's encamped to fight against the Philistines. The Philistines are the ones that had Goliath. That's a story we'll have here in a couple of weeks. They would be encamped against each other, and Saul was instructed to wait 7 days until Samuel arrived so that Samuel could offer sacrifices to God and bless the army so that they would have victory over the Philistines. And so Saul waits for 7 days, and Samuel doesn't show up. And then people start leaving. He starts losing his army, and the Philistines are still camped over there, so Saul's like, I can't wait any longer. I gotta get this done. So here's the story. Verse 8. Saul waited 7 days in the time appointed by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. He's losing his army. So Saul said, bring the burnt offering to me and the peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. As soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. You ever have it happen that way? Like, I'll do it myself. And as soon as you do, here comes the person that you've been waiting on all along. So Samuel comes, and Saul went out to meet him and greet him. And Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines had mustered at Michmash, I love that name, Michmash, I said, now the Philistines are going to come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself. Come on, Saul, you can do it. Come on, I can do it. He forced himself. Yeah, right. And he offered the burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you've done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God with which he commanded you. For then the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. And the Lord has sought out a man after his own what? Heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people because you have not kept the Lord, kept what the Lord commanded you. Here's the issue with Saul. He didn't trust God. He took matters into his own hands. He didn't stay in his lane. He didn't follow the instructions. The only thing God wanted him to do was wait. Just be patient. Just do nothing. All you got to do is do nothing. and he couldn't stay where he was. He had to take matters in his own hands. And he just needed for Samuel to do the thing Samuel was supposed to do. And he didn't. He did the thing Samuel was supposed to do. And Saul couldn't wait that long. And so we find out that Saul is kind of set aside, and God is now looking for a man after his own heart. And from this time on, God rejects Saul as the king and the leader of the people. Three chapters later, we'll read it here in a second, we see a young shepherd boy who is the least likely of the people to be selected as king. 1 Samuel 16 tells the story of David being chosen. Three of his older brothers come out. Samuel's not sure it's one of them because they look like real men. And God keeps saying, no, it's not one of them. And so Samuel's like, you got another one? And he's like, yeah, we got, Jesse's like, we got one out in the fields. And here's what the Lord says to Samuel, verse 7 of 1 Samuel 16. The Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on his height of his stature, because I've rejected him. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. He looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. David was a man after God's own heart. If I do this today, you say what? Heart. Yeah. It's all about our heart. The person you are has nothing to do with what you look like. Doesn't have anything to do with what you look like. I thought I would hear some amens and hallelujahs with that statement. Most of us should be praising God and shouting hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's a good thing that God looks at your heart. Oh, no. Now, so just say to yourself, it's a good thing God looks at my heart. It's a good thing God looks at my heart. He looks at your heart. David wasn't chosen because he was a great leader. David was a great leader because he was chosen. David wasn't chosen because he could defeat enemies. David defeated enemies because he was chosen. David wasn't chosen because he had the outward appearance of a king. He became that because he was chosen. God wasn't looking at his resume. God wasn't looking at the balance sheet. God wasn't looking at his transcript. He was looking at his heart. Now, here's the thing. Everyone has some things on your resume that you're proud of, right? Everybody has some things on your resume that you're not proud of too, right? We have good and bad. David killed a lion and a bear. That was really good. He was pretty proud of that. He mentioned it a couple times. And it looks good on a resume, right? Kingly things. Killed a lion and a bear. Check some boxes. But here's the big elephant in the room. Let me just give you a trigger warning. We also know that David sexually assaulted a woman who was not his wife, got her pregnant, and then had her husband killed, and then that baby died. Is that the act of a man after God's own heart? David was not fully like God. The point is, David had a heart. And this is the conundrum of it all. David was far from perfect. He was not the Savior of Israel. He was not the Son of God. But he had a heart. He had a repentant heart. He had a repentant heart. His heart was what God was looking for, because even when he sinned greatly, he repented. He turned away from that sin. He never did that one again. He turned toward God and what God was doing in his life. It would have been much better if he'd never done that sin at all, but he did it. And it's part of his resume. It's just there. But he repented and he turned from it. He had a thankful heart. He had horrible times of despair and depression after he sinned, after he's being chased for his life by Saul. Times when he just sunk so low. There's also times of great prosperity and enormous wealth and victory. And no matter when in his life he was experiencing good or bad, he had a thankful heart for what God was doing in his life. He had a faithful heart. David literally faced a giant, right? Our giants today are like, I don't know if I can pick up the phone and call for pizza. You know, like, that's hard to do. Like, I got to call and make a doctor's appointment. I call to somebody that I don't want to talk to. He had a literal giant that he was facing in his life. And he was faithful that he believed that God was greater than any giant that would stand in his way. Now, sometimes David took matters into his own hands. He did things out of line or out of order, but it was his heart to be faithful. And he had a loving heart. David loved God with his whole being. Later, Jesus would say, the greatest commandment with these words, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That describes who David was. He loved God. He loved God's commandments. He didn't always follow them to the T, but his heart was to follow the law and to love God. Isn't this the way for us? That the person you are, the unique combination of your childhood, how you were raised, combined with the experiences you've had, the decisions you've made, the decisions that other people have made throughout your life, and you that makes you, all of these things have culminated to make you. Some of you have had some wonderful, amazing, loving experiences. Some of you have had some traumatic, horrible things happen to you. All of us have had both. We've all had terrible things happen to us. We've all made terrible decisions at times. We've all had wonderful things happen. All of us have made good decisions. We put them together just like David. It makes up the person we are now. And you are uniquely created to be you. You might be responsible for some of the traumatic experiences that you have endured. You might have made some decisions that have caused issues. You might have brought about harm to yourself and others. You might have even compromised your own character. The question is, do you have a repentant heart? You might have had bad things happen to you by other people that have been traumatic to you. People have sinned against you and caused you harm. You might have been treated unfairly at work or at home. The question is, do you have a forgiving heart? You might have had times where you didn't know how things were going to work out, where you didn't know how the bills were going to get paid, where there was more month at the end of the money than there was money at the end of the month. The question is, do you have a thankful heart? Are you thankful no matter what situation you were in? You might have had to face a giant, a big obstacle, where you weren't sure if you had the courage to see through that big obstacle in front of you, that you didn't have the ability to overcome this challenge, where you weren't sure there was even a light at the end of this tunnel, where you couldn't trust in yourself to take that next step. The question is, do you have a faithful heart? You might have had to be in a place where it was hard to accept God's plan for your life right where you are, and you're not sure if this is the right place or the right time for you to be here, where you started to feel bitter about your own situation, where you were thinking life was unfair to you. The question is, do you have a loving heart? God has taken all the experiences that you've had, all the things you've been through, all the things you've done, to uniquely shape you to be you. And some of it's been really, really hard. And some of it's been really, really good. But what God is looking for is a person after his own heart. You see how David, of all people, still considered to be a man after God's own heart. And dare I say, none of us in here have done the despicable things that David did. You might not be able to see yourself as God sees you. You spend too much time looking at your own flaws. You spend too much time looking at your own inabilities. You spend too much time looking at your problems when God's saying to you, no, you are exactly the person I created you to be. Now capture an imagination for what you could be if you would let me redeem all of that and transform you into the image of my son, Jesus. Imagine if God could redeem your experiences. Imagine if God could restore your heart. Imagine if God could capture your person, who you are now, to transform you into something beyond yourself. David was a shepherd out in the field. He had three older brothers, but he had a heart. And God took the person that he was, all of his faults, all of his failures, all of his experience, all of his success, and all of his talents, and God made something beautiful out of it. Imagine if we allowed God to do this in our hearts. Imagine if we as a community of believers simply turned ourselves over to God's ability to transform. It doesn't mean we'd be perfect. We're human. We're not perfect. But it does mean that we could transform our city, our community, our neighborhoods right around us. All you need to do is just be you, the person that God has created you to be. with a heart that God can transform. Imagine your person, the you that is you, being able to help somebody else be the you that is them, that God can transform them through God's transformation of you. Let us pray. God, we thank you that we can understand the scripture and we can see ourselves in light of David, and we can come before you and recognize that we're imperfect people. We're doing just the best that we can, and that we are meant to be people of transformation. And so, God, we ask that you would do that and do that patiently with us so that we might be an example of what your love has done in people's lives, that we might be a people who are on a journey together, capturing an imagination for what transformation looks like in community together. We pray this in Jesus' name.